Next on Westmoreland Saturday Morning, Louise Henry from Go Laurel Highlands hosts Laurel Highlands Happenings here on 98.7 Westmoreland Gold, 1480 WCNS, and westmorelandgold.net.
This podcast is sponsored by Frank Lloyd Wright's Falling Water, a property on the UNESCO World Heritage List and entrusted to the Western Pennsylvania Conservancy. For tours and educational programs, visit fallingwater.org. Thanks also to the Pennsylvania Maple Festival. You won't want to miss Pennsylvania's sweetest event. Mark your calendars for the 75th Annual Maple Festival, scheduled for April the 23rd and 24th and April the 27th through to May the 1st, 2022. For more information, like them on Facebook or visit their website at pamaplefestival.com. Hello, I'm Louise Henry and welcome to another episode of Laurel Highlands Happenings, featured on Westmoreland Saturday morning on Westmoreland Gold 98.7 FM and 1480 WCNS. This episode is part of the Laurel Highlands Happenings podcast series. This month, with the winter closing in, we're going for a coziness theme. We're going to chat to Forbes State Forest about hiking, which I know you're thinking, how can that connect to coziness? Well, stay put and you'll find out in a bit. And we're also going to learn about what's happening at Compass Inn Museum for the holidays. So first, let's welcome Rachel Mahoney from Forbes State Forest. Good morning, Rachel. How are you?
Good morning. I'm well. How about yourself?
Oh, I'm just dandy. I'm fantastic. Thank you for asking. Thanks for coming on the show. Now, for those listening, Rachel's full title, I've got this right, is Environmental Education Specialist for PA Department of Conservation and Natural Resources at the Bureau of Forestry for Forbes State Forest. So in a nutshell, you're super knowledgeable about the forest, right?
I think so. Depends, been, right? We can't know everything, but yeah, I do know a thing or two, I'd say.
How long have you been doing this now, Rachel? Because I've known you a while.
Oh my goodness, I've been at Forbes State Forest since 2013, so it's been a while.
It's been a while. All right, so Rachel, for those that are listening that don't know much about Forbes State Forest, give us an overview about the forest.
Yeah, absolutely. So Forbes State Forest is located in southwestern Pennsylvania. We are one of the 20 forest districts throughout the entire state of Pennsylvania. So we are Forest District 4, again, located in that southwestern corner of the state, and we encompass Westmoreland, Somerset, and Fayette counties. So we aren't just one continuous tract of forest land, but rather we're scattered throughout the area that we consider the Laurel Highlands. In addition to having physical state forest in those three counties, we also offer outreach and other services to the additional three counties within that southwestern corner. So that includes Allegheny County, Washington, as well as Fayette. Oh, I'm sorry, not Fayette. Green. Sorry about that.
No, no, that's fine. So, so what's the acreage altogether, roughly?
Yeah, so total land area is just over 60,000 acres of forest land. So that is pretty hefty in size. So we have in total roughly 300 miles of shared use trails and joint use roads. So that offers a lot of opportunity for forest visitors to hike, camp, fish, hunt, mountain bike, horseback ride. And during the winter, which is just around the corner, much of our state forest is a favorite place for a lot of winter recreationists, for folks that like to snowmobile, cross-country ski, snowshoe, and sometimes even dog sledders come out. So, you know, another really cool thing about our state forest, or at least I find interesting, is that we encompass the highest point in the state of Pennsylvania, Mount Davis. So that is pretty neat. And you can visit that area year round.
I have to say, I'm a big lover of Forbes State Forest. We have our favorite trails we hit, you know, when we have time. So, but the reason I asked you on the show is because you've got some cool events. I mean, you always do, but this winter, something caught my eye when I was looking at your website, and it's Hygge Hikes. Now, I got that right, didn't I?
Yes, you did. Very good.
Okay, good, good, good. So tell us what Hygge is first off, for those that don't know.
Yeah, absolutely. So Hygge, It's actually spelled H-Y-G-G-E. So for us English speakers, we would think that it's pronounced Haig, which many people will pronounce it that way, but it's actually Hygge. And it is a word. It's rooted in Scandinavian countries such as Norway, Sweden, and Denmark. But it is a concept that is most often connected with Danes or people that live in Denmark. The word itself was derived from the Norwegian word hygge, that means comfort, and that's actually really closely related to the English word hug. So hygge can be a noun or a verb, so a little bit of a grammar lesson here. It can be a noun or a verb, but it can also be an adjective. So in general, hygge can be translated to mean comfort, contentment, or coziness, and hygge is closely connected to well-being, mindfulness, balance, simplicity, and warmth. I mean, the list could go on. But it's no surprise that in a culture that embraces hygge, it's also one of the happiest countries in the world, even though the winters are much longer and dark than what we experience in some portions of the United States, especially in Pennsylvania. So in short, hygge is a principle. It's a feeling and a lifestyle that encompasses the small and simple things in life that bring you joy and happiness. So for example, as simple as enjoying a hot mug of tea or reading a book on a rainy day, those are things that would be considered hygge. So going back to our grammar lesson, I said that hygge is a noun and a verb, but there's also an adjective form of the word to describe all things that are hygge, and that is hyggelig, and that is spelled H-Y-G-G-L-I-G. So for example, a ski trip to the mountains with friends can be hyggelig, but it wouldn't be considered hygge. And hygge is also a year-round concept. It's commonly known during the winter months, but it can be practiced year-round, 365. And in some of the most simplest ways that you probably are already living your life in a hygge type of way.
This is really interesting. So now I can see where you're putting this, blending this with hikes. Hyggelig. Yeah. So right. So tell us about the hygge hikes, what you've got planned for this winter.
Yeah, absolutely. So as I just mentioned, the concept of hygge, it's something that most of us already do in our everyday lives, whether we actually have sat back and realized it or not. It's about just bringing awareness to what hygge means and what it means to connect us better with our surroundings. So again, most of us might be aware of how hygge ties into our lives in our home, given the examples that I provided earlier, like enjoying a cup of hot tea or just enjoying a nice meal with friends and family. But one thing to think about with hygge is that it's also possible to connect this concept to our outdoor experiences. Most often we think about just like twinkle lights and candles, if you are familiar with hygge, but it's actually really a concept that's closely related again to our well-being, and our time spent outdoors has an immense benefit mentally and physically for us as well. So I figured let's connect the two and see what happens. So, you know, for things to be hygge-lig, it can be gentle exercise outdoors, and that's what these hygge hikes are, for gentle exercise outdoors, using all of our senses to explore our surroundings and being mindful of the moment and our movements, allowing us to understand and learn and embrace this new concept. So these hikes shift gears a little bit from our standard natural history programming and more technical hiking that I've traditionally offered at Forbes, providing gentle hiking opportunities, again, to learn and practice different hygge principles on the trail and in the forest. And, you know, at least for me, the holiday season can be especially stressful. Maybe you can relate. But the reason why I scheduled these hikes during the winter time is, again, it's a time of the year where hygge, the concept is usually understood a little bit more, and something that we practice a little bit more because things slow down a bit more. But also when things are stressful during the holidays, it's important for us to kind of reel things in and provide, some sort of intention with what we are doing. So these are very intentional hikes, providing a way for us to unplug from our external stressors and become in tune with nature. And I feel like for me personally, this is something that's especially important, again, for mental and physical well-being. And I hope that people find these hikes as a way to recharge as well as learn.
Oh, this is brilliant, Rachel. It's just brilliant. So tell us when you're planning to do these hikes.
Yeah, absolutely. So the Hoka hikes will be beginning to take place second Saturday of each month from the month of November through February. And the hikes will be no more than 2 miles in length. So again, I really want to emphasize that these are going to be gentle and intentional hikes. They will take place along less technical terrain in the forest as well, although I can't go out and move rocks and roots ahead of time. So of course, you know, we're in Pennsylvania. We're famous for our rocks and our roots. So, you know, we'll do our best to have nice gentle terrain, but there still will be some minor obstacles here and there. And then the hikes will also move around to different locations throughout this series. So each individual hike will showcase a different portion of Forbes State Forest. And I don't exactly disclose the exact meeting locations in my posts that I make on calendars online because I encourage interested participants to reach out to me with questions and to register. And they can do that, and we'll get to that, I guess, in a little bit, but they can do that just by contacting me directly.
Okay. All right. If you want to, because we're vastly getting out of time. So if you want to actually say now, for those that are listening, think, oh, I really want to do this. This sounds really cool. Where do they go to register for this event?
Yeah, no, I appreciate you asking. So the events are all free, so I don't think I mentioned that. But they can pre-register by contacting me directly, and that would be through email at rmahoney, M-A-H-O-N-Y, at pa.gov. Or if you didn't catch all of that, you can just call the Forbes State Forest District office Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. at 724-238-1200, and our clerical staff will get you squared away and connect you with me to get you signed up.
Oh, fantastic. Now, very, very quickly, because we've got under 2 minutes left.
Yeah.
It's just whizzed by. Tell us about your other two hikes you've got. You've got a Move Under the Full Moon hike, which sounds really cool, and also a turkey trek. So just quickly tell us about those two.
Yes, yes. So we're big into alliterations, if you couldn't tell, on the Forbes, right, with these catchy titles. So Move Under the Full Moon hike, that'll be, again, kind of like a mindful oriented, well-being oriented hike that gets folks outside during the time of the day that a lot of people don't get outside during the nighttime. So hopefully we get some nice clear skies and a bright full moon to guide us throughout the forest. But the Move Under the Full Moon hike will be taking place on Friday, November 19th from 7 p.m. to roughly 8:30 p.m. And that'll be about 2 miles total distance. And the program, again, is free, but it's more suitable for adults and children ages 12 and up. And again, free, you can contact me directly or contact the district office. And same with the turkey track. I do require pre-registration for that as well. This will be a little more intense of a hike, though. It'll be about 3.5 miles in total length. It is rated as strenuous. And we'll actually be exploring one of my favorite places of our Forbes State Forest in the Lenron Valley. So again, you can contact the district office or contact me directly for registration details and information.
Brilliant. Thank you so much, Rachel. That was a ton of information.
I know, I'm sorry.
No, don't. This is just absolutely great. I'm really keen to actually come out and do a Hoka hike.
We would love to have you.
That sounds so cool. Thanks for coming on. And just very quickly, for more information about anything at Forbes State Forest, what's the website?
Yeah, so you can check out, just go on Google, type in DCNR, Forbes State Forest. It'll take you right to our webpage, and then you can click on the calendar of events to find a listing. And we also have a Facebook page. It's an official government conservation organization page, and we do post our events on there as well.
Okay, and what's the name of that Facebook page?
It's just Forbes State Forest, and the listing will be, I believe it's a community and government page. So it's an official page,
okay.
And you can find us that way. Yeah, thank you so much, Louise. This was great.
Thank you, Rachel. Have a great holiday season.
You as well. Take care.
You too. Before we chat to our next guest, let's just do a quick sponsorship mention. This podcast is sponsored by Frank Lloyd Wright's Falling Water, a property on the UNESCO World Heritage List and entrusted to the Western Pennsylvania Conservancy. For tours and educational programs, visit fallingwater.org. Thanks also to the Pennsylvania Maple Festival. You won't want to miss Pennsylvania's sweetest event. Mark your calendars for the 75th Annual Maple Festival, scheduled for April the 23rd and 24th, and April the 27th through to May the 1st, 2022. For more information, like them on Facebook or visit their website at pamaplefestival.com. To learn more about Pennsylvania's Laurel Highlands, visit golaurelhighlands.com or follow us on Facebook at Go Laurel Highlands. So our next guest is Teresa Gay Rohall, the Executive Director of Ligonier Valley Historical Society and Compass Inn Museum. So thank you, Teresa. Thanks for coming on the show. Good morning to you.
And good morning to you, Louise. It's always such a pleasure to talk with you on this show.
Oh, same, same. So for those that are not familiar with Compass Inn Museum, give us a brief recap, you know, a brief history of the museum, the Compass Inn Museum, just so people know exactly where you are and what you do.
Compass Inn Museum is located 3 miles on past Fort Ligonier, right on Route 30. Just go 3 miles east, and here you come to us. Anyway, the Compass Inn was first established as an inn in 1799 by Philip Freeman and his wife, Mary, and they serviced people that were considered drovers, moving animals and goods from point A to point B along from Philadelphia to Pittsburgh as it was a developing area. And then in 1814, Robert and Rachel Armour bought the inn, and by this time, stagecoach travel had really picked up, and lots of people were traveling along what was called the Philadelphia to Pittsburgh Turnpike at that time. And it ran as an inn until 1862, and that is the museum as it is today, that we celebrate and showcase the heyday of stagecoach travel at Compass Inn Museum. So we're focused on about 1830, and all that encompasses what the inn was like, and it also includes a working cookhouse, a working blacksmith shop, and a barn where there's an 1830-style stagecoach and a Conestoga wagon.
Yeah, you have lots of great stuff there, and I know Compass Inn Museum does a lot of events throughout the year, lots of living history programs, events. You've just wrapped up your Halloween storytelling, which was last week. So, and now you're moving into your candlelight tours season, which you do every year. So tell us a little bit about that, because it starts this month and it's Harvest Candlelight Tours, isn't it?
Yes, as a matter of fact, it starts today at three o'clock. We have from 3 to 7, we have our first holiday or a harvest candlelight tour, and then we will have two more on the 13th of November and the 20th November. And again, those are from 3 to 7 p.m. You get to tour the inn during candlelight. All the fires are going, so you get a feel of what it would have been like during the harvest time back in the 1830s because of the candles and all the fireplaces going. The other thing is, one of your stops is in the cookhouse I mentioned a few minutes ago, and I will actually be in the cookhouse all 3 Saturdays cooking up a storm. I'll be using historic recipes, and so everything I'll be cooking will be using the ingredients and the spices and the methods from that time period. And while you're watching me cook and asking me questions, I'll be handing out some mulled cider for you to sip on and also enjoy a ginger cookie while watching me demonstrate. And ginger cookies are a real important one because in Lachlan Town at that time period, there was actually a ginger bread place in a bakery in town, just sort of like the pie shop today, but only they focused on gingerbread.
Really? I did not know that. Oh, that's interesting.
that's something we've just found out recently.
Oh, that's a nice tie-in, because I know the ginger cookies are always good. You serve with the mulled cider. So,
yes.
So it's just a really lovely ambience that when you go and visit the candlelight tours, just like you said, the fires are burning, you've decorated for harvest. It does really give you a good feel of what travellers might have, how they might have lived and what it was like to be in the coaching in that time period. So for those that are listening and would like to actually come to these candlelight tours, how do they register?
Well, right now we are registering through Eventbrite. It's eventbrite.com, and you just go in and type in Ligonier Valley Historical Society, or even type in Candlelight Tours, and we pop right up, and you can see what time slots are available and how many time slots within each of those times on each of the dates that are available, and register them. We will also take walk-ins, but you might have to wait a few minutes in between the tours that are already registered, depending upon what time you get there. But you can either pre-register and be guaranteed a slot, or walk in and you'll get a slot. It's just you might have to wait a few minutes for one to open.
How long do the tours take, Therese? Are they every half an hour, every hour?
Well, the pre-registered tours we're starting them every half hour, so that gives us a time to add in walk-ins every 15 minutes. So the tours are anywhere from 45 minutes to an hour, depending upon the people that are in that particular tour, what kind of questions they ask, and how engaging they are with our docents. And our docents are actually dressed in period clothing, so which makes it even more fun.
Okay, so is there a maximum for a group in a tour?
We're putting 8 people in a group because of COVID at this point.
Okay, and what is the cost, the admission cost for adults and children?
It's our regular admission fee, so it's $12 for adults. It's $11 for adults 62 and older. And then for youth 6 to 17, it's $8. And then 5 and under are free. Active military are free, and, of course, members are free.
Okay. So just to go back quickly to, you mentioned COVID, and the guidelines we got with, masks and things.
We are asking that our guests attend the tours wearing masks, and if you forget to bring one with you, we will provide you with one.
Okay.
All of our volunteers will also, and staff will also have on masks.
All right. Is there anything else we need to mention about the Harvest Tours before we move on to the next?
No, I think it's just a great time. It gives everybody sort of a little bit of a respite of relaxation before all of the hecticness of the holidays show up.
Yes. So, but you are quite hectic, you are quite busy, Teresa. You do have a lot going on, because there's another event that's going to be happening just after Harvest Candlelight Tours, and that is your Festival of Lights event. Now, this event has been going on for quite a long time, and it last year, of course, it did not happen because of COVID, but you're back with a vengeance this year. So tell us about Festival of Lights.
Well, it's in its 38th year. It should have been its 39th year, as you just mentioned. So 38 years the Ligonier Valley Historical Society has been hosting Festival of Lights. And it's a Friday or Saturday, Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday festival for the public to come between 9 a.m. and 5 p.m. daily to see an array of wonderfully decorated trees, wreaths, and other Christmas things. And you might even want to purchase one of them. But it's a wonderful adventure of winter wonderland kind of things. We do have a theme every year that we decorate, and we hope you'll come out to see how we interpret a Christmas carol this year as part of our decorating theme. You'll get the chance to see the ghost of Christmas present, the ghost of Christmas past, and the ghost of Christmas future, and of course Ebenezer Scrooge himself and Tiny Tim.
Ooh, this sounds really cool, really exciting.
We're okay. Looking forward to it.
So roughly how many trees and wreaths and garlands do you have in total at the Festival of Lights?
Well, in some years we've had up to 50 in total, but the numbers are somewhat down this year because we are still trying to social distance and give a little more space for everybody to be able to safely move around. So we'll probably have about 25 to 30 items this year, in addition to all the wonderful decorations that revolve around the Christmas carol theme. And there's actually a kickoff party for that whole thing that happens Friday night, December 3rd. If anyone's interested in coming to the kickoff party, they can visit Compass Inn's website for ticket information, and that happens from 6:30 to 8:30 p.m. There'll be hors d'oeuvres and some libations to go along with the festivities.
Okay, and now all this happens in downstairs in the town hall in downtown Ligonier.
Yes, and if you think that the town hall community room at town hall is just kind of a community room, you have to come to Festival of Lights to see it transform into a Christmas spectacular.
Okay. Now, if you can't make the kickoff party on the Friday evening, you then open up to for the public to come in Saturday morning, 9 a.m., and it's open daily 9 to 5, right? And that goes through from Saturday through to Tuesday.
Yes, so Saturday the 4th through Tuesday the 7th.
Okay. And is there any admission cost just to come in to visit and see the trees?
It's $5 a person, and then for children, it's $1 to bring children in.
Okay. Now, on top of just viewing the trees, you actually have raffles as well, don't you?
Yep, we have some raffles, and we have a silent auction that will be going on.
Okay, so the opportunity to win some really nice things maybe for the holidays.
Yes, so a lottery raffle and a 50-50 as well.
Oh. So do you have anything else to share? We've got a couple of minutes left.
Well, we're just looking for everybody to come out to see us at our harvest tours and then to get into the Christmas spirit with attending the Festival of Lights. As I said before, it's 39 years or 38 years in the making, and so it's great fun. And if you're coming for the weekend for the Ligonier Countrywide Christmas shop at all the stores, make sure that you leave some time for that Sunday afternoon to come downstairs of the community room and visit Festival of Lights. And again, we'll offer some cookies and cider.
All right. So for those that are listening and want to know more, they can find out more information on your website. What is the website address, Teresa?
The website is www.compassin.org, and in has two N's.
Okay. And also, can we find you on Facebook?
Yes, you certainly can find us on Facebook.
Okay, and that's Compass Inn Museum. Oh, it's Ligonier Valley Historical Society, isn't it?
Correct.
All right. Great to chat to you again, Teresa. Thank you for coming on the show. I know you're a busy lady. Thank you very much, Teresa, for coming on the show.
It's always a pleasure.
All right. Take care and speak soon.
Thank you.
Thank you once again to our guest today, Rachel Mahoney from Forbes State Forest, and also Teresa Gay Rohall from the Ligonier Valley Historical Society and Compass Inn Museum. All those events that they mentioned today on the show, you can absolutely find on our website, golaurelhighlands.com, and also do search for holiday events, because there's lots of great holiday programs, events, classes happening around the Laurel Highlands, you know, at historic sites and at theatres, art centres, even downtown as well. Lots of fun things going on for the holidays. So once again, this podcast is sponsored by Frank Lloyd Wright's Falling Water, a property on the UNESCO World Heritage List and entrusted to the Western Pennsylvania Conservancy. For tours and educational programs, visit fallingwater.org. Thanks also to the Pennsylvania Maple Festival. You won't want to miss Pennsylvania's sweetest event, because they'll be marking their calendars for the 75th annual Maple Festival, scheduled for April the 23rd and 24th and April the 27th through to May the 1st, 2022. For more information, like them on Facebook or visit their website at pamaplefestival.com. You have been listening to another episode of Laurel Highlands Happenings on Westmoreland Saturday morning on Westmoreland Gold 98.7 FM and 1480 WCNS. This episode is part of the Laurel Highlands Happenings podcast series. All events and businesses mentioned today can be found at golaurelhighlands.com. And if you are active on social media, follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube.